Hello again, everyone. This is Steve Green on the Charisma Podcast Network, and this is the Green Lines Podcast. Every one of these podcasts is produced to help you live an abundant life. Jesus said, "I come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly." I want that, don't you? The Lord has led us to produce over 1,100 episodes of this show with interviews from authors, pastors, teachers, business owners, and even noted musicians and worship leaders. All of this is done with a prayer and belief that we're not to live a life of scarcity. Let me say that again. We are not to live a life of scarcity. We're to live a life of abundance every day of our life. Live in abundance. That's what this show's about. And today's episode features a guest who offers a new perspective on abundant living. I'm excited to welcome back my friend, Dr. Mark Sherwood. He's with us on here on the Green Lines Podcast now, and we're going to have just a real interesting discussion about another virus that is threatening to plague America. If you listen to the news over the last two or three nights, you probably heard about the monkey virus. So I think we've got this new movie about ready to come out, Escape from the Island of the Monkey Virus. And so I knew only to call Dr. Mark and bring him in and have him talk about it. Plus, it's our time to talk anyway. We might stretch in a couple other topics as well. But I'm just excited to welcome back Dr. Mark Sherwood. Brother, thank you so much for joining us.
Steve, it's a pleasure. Thank you guys for always having me back. I appreciate it. I'm super honored to be here.
Great. So what about this monkey virus? Is it the real deal? I know that there's a lot of misnomer thinking. I saw CDC finally came out this morning and said, don't sweat this thing. It's not all that contagious. But they said that early on about COVID, too. They weren't too concerned with it early until the spike started.
It seems like to me these days, there's just so much of this. I almost call it fear porn. It's like so addicting to people. People can't get enough of it. When I saw the monkeypox thing out, I was like, oh my gosh, here we go again. And, you know, right here before the midterms, let's get more mail-in ballots, you know, the whole bit going on and lockdowns and wear a mask again and all that mess. And, you know, it's silly. You look at the history of monkeypox. I mean, back in, I think, 1958, it was discovered, yeah. You know, kind of in this lab with monkeys, you know, but it doesn't jump from monkeys to humans or from humans to monkeys, and it wasn't discovered in mankind until probably 1970. So this is not something that's brand new. It's something that's, you know, quite old, and really? We've had these things before. Yeah, it's not something that's a brand new strain or anything like that. It's, you know, there's not many right now, and typically flu-like symptoms, you know, the achiness, fever, lymph nodes swollen. But monkeypox has this well-known sort of anomaly, and then it produces these lesions.
Like a chicken pox lesion?
Yeah, measles. Sort of. But these occur kind of in the, this will make you go ouch, kind of in the genital and maybe anal area, you know? So that's where they kind of see them. And they can appear other places too, don't get me wrong. But contagiousness of this is not a lot. You know, you've got to get like body fluid swaps and things like that. There's one group of studies out there indicate that maybe it can be passed on with droplets from, you know, air and spit and things like that. So kind of the same thing we've dealt with before.
Right. So with the spread that we're seeing, that it's getting into some states, what's causing that? Is it just an awareness factor? It's heightened from people who have traveled maybe to Africa and come back and had behaviors that led to this? Or is it truly something that spread because of something else?
Yeah, you know, that's the probably $1 quadrillion question, right? Isn't it? You know, I don't suspect that all these cases are going to be tied back to visiting the continent of Africa. I do suspect that there's behaviors that are probably contributing to it as well that, you know, people just don't want to admit. And however, if you get any symptoms, virus symptoms, just go kind of isolate and get by yourself until you feel better again.
Right.
Because the death rate on this is extremely minimal.
Well, you had an unbelievable response to COVID, your practice, you as a doctor. I read that you had 10,000 cases and you didn't lose one patient.
Yeah, we've been very fortunate with that. I mean, God's hand has been upon us to guide that.
So you know a lot about treatment of viruses, and so the treatment for this one, and is it a virus, first of all? Let's go there.
Well, I suspect it is. I mean, you know, it's a virus that's related or similar to maybe a smallpox or a chicken's pox. You know, viruses are viruses. We're going to have those around, and we're going to get exposed to them. So we can't alleviate all viruses, nor can we alleviate all bacteria or fungus or anything like that, or parasites. It's part of who we are. Our job is to really do a couple things. Number one, not live in fear at all, because God's not going to take us out of here, nor are we going to get out of here one day quicker than God says so, unless we choose to, which leads me to point number two. Our job is also to take care of ourselves. This idea of a moral compass or a guide is to self-govern and, you know, care for this temple, as it's the greatest gift that God's given us.
Yes. And so you have a lot of therapy on that. Do you give that out a lot? One of the ways that you had a success rate that you did was by being proactive in healthcare.
Yeah. Every person we talked with, we would do one and or two things. Number one, we would, there you go. We would talk about no living in fear. We just don't have that. I can't tell you, Steve, how many times I talk somebody off the edge and I would have to like raise my voice and listen to me. You are not going to die of this virus. Listen to me carefully. And I'd get into their psyche because they don't hear that with the media. The media is so garbage driven of fear. They think you're going to die and everything's about death. And it's distracting. So we pull that distraction out of the way. And secondly, we would get people in a place where they were equipped to give the body what it needed so that it can fight and resolve attacks appropriately.
Well, Dr. Mark, if you started yelling at me, I'm going to do anything you tell me to do. When you stand over me, first of all, you got a white coat on, so I'm already intimidated. And then you've got muscles of a guy that works out professionally and you've been a bodybuilder. So, you know, I'm intimidated 2-3 times over. And then you are probably the next governor of the state of Oklahoma. So I'm intimidated more. So I got to do what you tell me to do. And I just wonder why people get so intimidated by wars and rumors of wars, pestilence and rumors of pestilence.
Well, it boils out of this. And I hope people that, you know, if you don't get anything else out of this particular episode, get this. Fear is the native language of the enemy.
Come on.
And if the enemy can get you focused on fear, lack, sickness, death, fear, lack, sickness, death. Those things, if he can get you focused on those things, that is a distraction, which is why Jesus walked around the earth and healed people, because he eliminated distraction so he could tell them about the truth of his Father, the truth of kingdom, right? And today, we as believers, we should be walking around with the normalcy of laying hands on the sick will recover. So we have the power by the Holy Spirit within us to eliminate the distraction of sickness. And we as believers need to get a hold of that teaching, because if we don't, we will perpetually allow fear into our circles, into our lives, into our churches. And when they get in the churches, they become nothing more than demonic infiltrated entities. And that's not what we need. We need to be the healthiest, most fearless, hopeful people on planet Earth.
Amen. Well, I want to tie into a topic you and I had been discussing, and that's the life that we live now and what may be end times. You know, I've been hearing it since the 1970s when I first started going to a charismatic church, that it's 2 minutes to midnight. I heard that's one of the first sermons I heard my preacher preach. And, you know, the clock's moving slow, but we see a lot more evidence now. But yet there have been seasons and times since Jesus, because he was telling them, I'm coming back.
Yeah.
And they were looking for it. But since that time, no man knows the time or the hour, but then we have signs, and we've seen them at various seasons and times. We've seen wars, we've seen pestilence, we've seen things line up like we do now. And, you know, a lot of people now are beating their chest saying, this is that, it's it, you know, we're coming to the end. And I want to be ready if they're right, and I want to live if they're wrong. So, Dr. Mark, I'd love for you to weigh in on that and tie in your profession and your knowledge of these diseases and the political things you know now after campaigning. How do you tie it all together in what appears to be the end times?
Well, if you have faith in God and you have a relationship with God through Jesus' birth, death, resurrection, and his atonement of sins, and you professed him as your Lord and Savior and allowed him to transform your life, the end times are not the end times. They're the beginning times.
Come on.
So we don't look at them like the end times, because life doesn't end, because we have eternal life. So I don't look at it like, oh my goodness, that's a negative. I step back with a 30,000 foot view and I say, okay, I'm good for whatever, because I have no fear of where I'll be alive on this earth or alive in heaven. I'm going to either live here or I'm going to be in a different realm, a different address. So I'm not going to die. I am immortal in this idea. And so we need to understand we're not from here. And so looking at that from that perspective gives us great peace. Whether the Lord is coming back in one day or 100 years, to me, it is irrelevant. The bottom line is he's coming back to get his kids. And I'm one of them. And blessed are those that are called the children of God. We are a peculiar people, a holy nation. And yes. I am one. You are one. Adelaide back there is one. It's a wonderful time right now. And this is good. This is a time for us to wake up, to smell the roses, if you will, to smell the persecution, to smell the rumors and wars and all this pestilences. See it as a positive, not a negative, folks. I'm telling you, if you'll turn it around and allow it to inspire you to go out there and communicate hope and light and love to your fellow man, that should drive you. Because look, one day all of us are going to stand before God, and every knee is going to bow one day to acknowledge Jesus as Lord. Are we going to be okay, Steve, with our friends, our family, the people we interact with each day? Are we going to be okay with the idea that we had a chance in their life to not tell them about Jesus? Are we okay with that? I'm not okay with that. So whether I am...
That comes from your doctoring. That comes from you saying, every patient walks in my door, I have an obligation to tell them about health.
I have.
You take a very personal a warfare on that.
Look, you know, I'm talking to you right now, and we're
come on
audio, but we're on Zoom as well, for those that don't know. But the bottom line is, you are the most important person in my life right now. And my job is to make sure that you know that, to make sure that you understand from me, if I will yield to get out of the way, that the love of God comes through me and you see the love of God. And that's how we've got to relate to people. And I was talking to a guy just last night. This is a true story, great story. But I was at a campaign event and I was communicating the message. And I always start my campaign speeches with boldly, unashamedly professing Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And again, that goes completely against the grain, but I don't care. Win, lose, or draw, he's still my Savior. And so, you know, I will do that. But this guy, he was the host of the meeting, a good group of people out way out in the western part of Oklahoma. And then the meeting comes up and he goes, hey, he goes, you're not a politician. I said, no, sir. He goes, and you're a religious guy? And I said, no, sir. He goes, well, I thought you believe in God. And I said, I do. But I have a relationship with him. I don't practice religion because religion is a fatal disease.
Yes.
He looked at me and he said, well, I've never heard that before. He goes, I'm an agnostic. And I said, well, God bless you then. I appreciate you standing up for something. And it took him completely off guard. And I said, I respect you. I would rather sit down with a known professing agnostic than I would somebody that says they know God but don't know God and are playing me.
Yeah.
You can see that. And so he said to me, he goes, I've had people here that have been pastors. I've had people here that have been religious people. He said, I've had people here that proclaim God. And he said, but you're different. And I said, well, thank you for that. And he said, I don't believe yet. But he said, if I hang around you enough, I just might.
Yeah.
And it hit me, Steve, that that is the idea of what we should be doing, whether it be in the naturopathic field, whether it be in the gubernatorial field, whether it be in your friendship. We have got to be the light of the world, because the world is super dark right now. But darkness is scared of a little bit of light. So be a little bit of light.
I've always taught that man creates agnostics.
Yes. And his story was interesting. And he was telling me that he was wounded in a very religious spirited church. And, oh, yeah. And I just encouraged him. I said, well, that wasn't church. What we're doing right now is church. And it's people. And he was like so disarming. And he's already reached out to me a couple times a day and said, thank you. So I'm appreciative to see what God does.
Now he's obviously seeking you.
Yes.
You open that door, the lid's off the pot. Maybe something can happen.
Well, I hope so in Jesus' name. Yep.
Well, Dr. Mark, I've got to wrap the show up, but I'd like you to leave us like you always do with a hope that is within you. Give reason for the hope that's within you about, I think you've dealt with monkeypox just fine. I don't know if you've got anything else to say on it or where we're headed, but what would you say to our listeners about the state of where we are with the economy, with rumors of war, with pestilence, put it all together. What would you say to us to go forward tomorrow morning?
There will always be sickness. There will always be trauma. There will always be drama in a fallen world. Satan is the ruler of this world as given over by permission of God himself, because mankind turned it over back in the garden, in the fall of man. And during this time, we've seen all kinds of evil rise up. Now the agenda is clear. There's no hidden secrets. It is what it is. And now we as believers get an opportunity to step up as the true remnant. So I encourage people to step up and be that remnant. Do not fear. Do not live with the fear of the dark and realize that any little bit of the light will make the dark run away as a chicken. So stand up against it. Do not fear dying from illnesses, disease, or pestilences, or war. You will not die one day quicker than what God says so. So live your life every day with hope, joy, peace, love, with the intent to just get out of the way and let God get into you so that you can shine the light to this world.
Amen. Well, I saw on my newsletter that you were a participant in. I had you write an article for me in my newsletter, and the number one click through on that newsletter was your book.
Hey, that's awesome, man. I appreciate that.
It was something like 16% click through rate on that page. So that's a pretty good deal.
Praise the Lord, man.
It could be because it had the magic word, but let's give away that book now. Again, give us the website to you, to your ministry, to your health practice. I want people to know about you and how to get you.
Yeah, then go to Sherwood.tv. And on that page, now you can get all of our books. There's plans that you can use, whether you want to work with us personally or not. We have these pre-designed plans that go from like all audiovisual courses to 2-week recess to 120-day transformations to actually working with us, like, you know, somebody I know very close does. So it's good, man. And so
I love working with you. I tell everybody.
I'm excited.
You're my doctor.
Let us help you.
You do help me. I feel really good. I've never had a doctor that is as caring and reaches out as much as you do.
Man, I love you and I appreciate you so much, man.
Well, I love you and appreciate you, and thank you for clearing up this thing. I'm really comfortable with what you've had to say today and feel like we gave our listeners really good advice on this monkeypox mess. But don't be all right. Yes, that's it. You've been listening to the Green Lines Podcast. I'm Steve Green on the Charisma Podcast Network. On behalf of my producer, Adley, we'd like to remind all of you that Jesus came that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. And I'll tell you what, if you hang around Dr. Mark for more than 5 minutes, he's going to talk to you about abundant living. You know, he'll introduce you to a healthy lifestyle. And I just encourage you to pay attention. You know, I'm almost 70 and I've really take his advice clearly. I don't know how I would be feeling today had I not taken the medicines and things that he's been prescribing for me. So I just love him, appreciate him, and know that he's the real deal. I know him as a professional baseball player, a SWAT officer, a sergeant of the SWAT team, police, workout guy. He's a big, strong ox and a great husband. So, and I hope the next governor of the state of Oklahoma, which I love. So, brother, thank you for always making time for us, and we'll see you probably in the next 2-3 weeks. I think you're up on the schedule again. I hope so.
I can't wait. Awesome.
I can't either. Thank you, brother, and God bless you.